All right. It is Guillermo, and I am here with Janos. What's up, Janos?
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. And that song that I just played was the first 15 seconds of my Drifters record, of the original recording of Stand By Me, but that is not the recording that shocked the world yesterday by winning the entire music tournament. That was the Ben E. King single from 1961 that put a furious fight up through a match that I think some might have said, was just a clash of, you were saying that it was a clash of cultures, like the 50s or the 80s. Maybe people expected Ben E. King to do well. There was some pretty compelling commentary coming out from the little that we got from the 17 voters that put up their votes online that weren't able to listen to the songs at our voting finals. But, man, Ben E. King, what do you say about that? I don't know. It's weird.
Well, I think everybody's liked Ben E. King all along. He did great in all of the previous rounds, but when it came time for the finals, I think a lot of the regular voters decided that, this is the guy we're going to go with to represent the music tournament. We saw a huge number of 10s being dropped, which we've discussed previously is not typically the case for Ben E. King. He's always coasted along with 8s and 9s, but out of the first 12 voters to vote yesterday, 7 of them gave him a 10 or an 11, which is completely unprecedented in this tournament, and I think a real sign that people kind of come to terms with it. Like, this is the song, I'm going with it. Under Pressure, nice work. Love you, love your work, but, you're no champion. And the tone was set right away from the very first couple votes. And actually, as the day went on and the listening parties took place, Under Pressure did kind of rally back a little bit, but the early lead that was given to Stand By Me by the most regular of our voters was enough to carry the margin of victory in the end.
Right. Yeah, no, it was, so basically we had 3 major conduits of votes. We had the New York listening party, we had the D.C. listening party, and then we had what was happening online. And like you were saying, Stand By Me established a pretty significant lead from the online votes. But, you should recap how your party went in a second, but from the D.C. side, so we were at Red Derby last night, or yesterday evening. It's a bar in Petworth. It's got a really cool rooftop deck, and admittedly, I didn't really do this in an organized fashion. I called them, 3 hours before and said, hey, I'm bringing a bunch of people to vote in a music tournament, so would you guys mind playing Under Pressure followed by Stand By Me at 8 o'clock? And they were pretty cool about it, and then once I got there, the bar staff was totally on board, and, we talked about the music tournament, this and that. But we had, it was sort of reminiscent of how we used to run the music tournaments at Hands on Gulf Coast in Biloxi in 2006 and 2007. I had ballots. I handed them out. I stood on a chair at 8 o'clock and said, listen, we've been running this music tournament. Score these songs between 0 and 10. There are pens going around through the ballots. And I will announce the D.C. winner in a bit. So all in all, we had a good contingent of regular voters. Jacob Press came. I met Jacob. That was awesome. And then we had Sam came with a bunch of his buddies. Jess Weiss, KW came. Dinah was there. Sarah Smith was there. Jeremy was there. Just like some 1-2-time voters sort of came through and did it. So that was pretty cool. And then on top of just the people that we had there for the music tournament, we were able to rope in all of these other people that were just sort of hanging out at the bar. They're like, yeah, I'll vote in your music tournament. And the bar staff was, like I said before, the bar staff was totally all about it. Big shout-outs to Nick, the bartender, and Andre, the server, who both talked music tournament with me at length. And when all was said and done, we had 49 different ballots come in to a French fry basket that I used to collect the votes. And, and that was incredible. That's more than, we had online for the last record, which is 42 in the final four. And even though we had this immense number of voters, I was thinking for sure, if some song really takes this, then it's going to be a blowaway and it's going to really, trump whatever's happening in New York and whatever's happening online. But the final score from DC was, I think it was like 369 to 362 for Under Pressure. So you got 49 voters, you got 49 voters, and you have a 7-point difference. So, you know, even in that atmosphere of like, this is a bar, it's the rooftop, and it feels like summer, and it's really great, and you think that Under Pressure would get everyone pumped up, there was a collective, like, oh, as soon as Stand By Me started. Like, people got into Under Pressure, and then as soon as Stand By Me started, there was like, oh, this song. And, like, it's, like, sort of, you could look around the bar and see that people were sort of, like, tearing their hair out a bit. And, like, I don't know which one to vote for, this and that. Yeah, a lot of interesting things happening. And we came in at a +7 for Under Pressure. Me, personally, interestingly enough, even though, as I said in the last podcast, I have been historically a big Stand By Me proponent, I ended up giving Under Pressure a 10 and Stand By Me a 9.5. And that may be because I was hanging out at this bar for 3 hours waiting for everybody to come in, you know, chilling out, you know, like relaxing. And then when Under Pressure came, I was like, yeah. But, you know, Under Pressure is a great song. I love it. You know, I really love it. And like last night I loved it, but, it, you know, and it got the +7 for the DC voters. But, I don't know. What was this? So tell me about the New York party. I haven't even heard about the New York party yet, but I'm sure the voters want to hear about it too.
Yeah, I mean, we clearly didn't cram 49 people into my small one-bedroom apartment here. But we had a good crew, a lot of folks who had voted, you know, sort of irregularly throughout the tournament. Sounds like similar to your D.C. bunch in that sense. And what we did is we listened to a 10-track playlist of some of the best performers of the tournament, some of the Preacher Man, America, Waving Flag. You know, the songs that really seemed at different points like they could have gone all the way. That got people kind of in the right mood, had their palates cleansed. And then the way we did it is had a little discussion beforehand about pros and cons people felt about the songs going into it. And then categorical rule, no commenting on the songs while they were playing to, you know, influence people one way or the other. And then once people had written down their scores, we went around the room and each person gave their sort of take on which song they thought deserved to win and why. You know, most people said, I like them both. Here's why I like one of them more. With Stand By Me, people gave big props to the bass line, to the fact that the strings somehow got away with not being too schmaltzy, even though, you know, that's a kind of an Achilles heel for a lot of love songs, is the cheesiness of the string section. But people seem to like it in this case. The percussion, the simplicity of the song, really, that somehow was able to carry through. Whereas Under Pressure, I think there was, people like the energy of Under Pressure. People love Freddie Mercury and David Bowie, but were ultimately a little frustrated by how disjointed the song seemed, which can be a strength at times, but people just were not feeling how all over the place it kind of was in the middle of the song, which is a criticism Catholic Nick was talking about in his comments. Brian Orris in particular had a furious tirade about what a disappointing song it was given the collaboration between Bowie and Mercury, and he said that that made him more mad than anything. In the end, I think New York went +2 or +3 for King. You know, it was close. But I had already tabulated the scores and knew going into it that I think Benny King was up about, I don't know, 25 points before we even voted. So I knew right away that New York was not going to make up the difference for Queen, because, you know, it was a pretty evenly split room. But yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah. It's funny, you get so many voters in one place and then you end up with +2s or +7s. And in the end the difference is that, you know, maybe Mark Orsini voting out of California, or Gano, I think he's voting out of Chicago. But you know, the difference is that these guys listen to the songs alone in that laptop setting that you were talking about in the last podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the differentials that actually, you know, decided this tournament. And I don't know. I mean, they're both great songs. I think, I mean, so I gave it a 10 for reasons I described before. But there's something that happens around 3 minutes, and it is a little bit all over the place. And in the same way that we collectively were like, oh, Bohemian Rhapsody tries too hard, or it's doing this, or it's doing that, and it's like, you know, sort of overindulgent in its love of itself, I sort of had, like, I don't know, thinking back on Under Pressure, I have a sense that song sort of does that in a way, too. And, I mean, with guys like David Bowie and Freddie Mercury, you know, competing for the limelight in a single song, you know, that has to happen. You know, it's only natural that something like that would happen. But, you know, Benny King, he just sings a song. He just sings a song about, you know, if the world collapses, you know, if the apocalypse comes tomorrow, it's all right, because I have you, you know. And
Shilpa was pointing out that even though, you know, at first glance you can say it's just a cheesy love song, it's actually a fairly dark song. The lyrics are, paint a pretty grim picture, but then the overall message is very positive. So it lyrically has that nice contrast that, you know, the land is dark and the mountains tumbling to the sea, and yet, you know, Stand By Me. It's got a very nice. It brings it all home. You know that no matter what happens, no matter how bad things are, I'll stand by you, which actually is much deeper than a typical love song.
I agree. I mean, these songs about romance, these songs about, you know, like with Ring of Fire, for example, with Film the Final Four. You know, it's a song about like burning love and like, you know, the terror of being in love with somebody when you're married to somebody else, and it's also difficult and it's also crazy. But those, like, visceral emotion songs really falter when you compare them to songs that are just, like, straight up about loyalty and about friendship and about love, but not, like, crazy, fleeting love that comes and goes when our hearts start beating faster. More, like, regular, like, no matter what happens, no matter what, you know, shit I get into, what shit you get into, like, you know, friendship is always there. And, you know, Stand By Me, you know, it says darling, darling, so maybe it's about, you know, a girl or a guy or whatnot, but, you know, Stand By Me is about, it's about friendship in the way that picture I posted of Chris Chambers sort of hugging Gordy LaChance and Stand By Me is holding him as Gordy is, you know, crying about how his parents don't care about him because his older brother was, like, the cool one and, you know, played by John Cusack, who didn't vote in the music tournament. Come on, John. I hope you vote in the next one.
Next time.
But yeah, you know, it's like about those, like, just moments, and it's pretty consistent. And consistency and emotion, when combined, are a pretty unbeatable combo. And love, I mean, for those listening that are in love, good for you, and that's really wonderful and whatnot. But love is, when it comes to romance, is something that can sort of come really hard and then fall away. But love, when it comes to friendship, is one of those things that's just like a steady beating heart in the background. And that's what Stand By Me is to me. And, you know, I'm happy that it won this tournament. I think that we all sort of underappreciated it from the beginning, but at the same time, without even realizing it, gave it the nods that it needed to keep going and keep going and keep going. And, you know, nobody could have predicted that this was going to be the song that won. And maybe for the People's Choice Tournament coming up, which we'll talk about in a second, it's something to think about in terms of, you know, the soulful, simple songs really getting us in the end. And maybe, you know, we'll see more of that. Maybe we'll see more of, you know, we had some Drifter songs. We had, you know, this song. I would love to see a little bit more soul. I was actually talking to the guys at Red Derby about this last night. I'd love to see a little bit more Otis Redding. You know, we had sitting in the Dock of the Bay, but, you know, I'd love to see how something like Pain in My Heart or A Little Tenderness does, those sort of, you know, soulful songs that are completely different than something that's like rocked your heart out, like a, you know, Under Pressure, for example, or, you know, a Stone song or whatnot. But I think it's going to be really interesting to see what people nominate for this next tournament and whether the genres shift a little bit and what ends up winning, because, you know, this was a 50s versus 80s song. You know, this was a matchup of cultures. This was a matchup of genres. And in the end, you know, a Stand By Me came out on top. And so, I don't know, it makes me take like a really long thought about, okay, what is it that really gets us when we listen to music? Is it those things that make us jump around the bar and go crazy? Or is it those things that make us sort of pause and say like, yeah, that's good?
Well, I think that this is a good segue into the People's Choice Tournament. I think we're going to be talking about a whole different beast that comes out winning that tournament, because the kind of songs that rock and get us off our seats are generally, you know, I guess in New York we have the Q104, the classic rock station, you know, the rock songs that you're growing up to driving around, you know, at people's parties for years. Those songs we've largely covered, and of course, just to be clear to everybody, the rule is no song that was in this tournament can be in the People's Choice tournament. So whether it's Stairway or Living on a Prayer, you know, those type of songs are not going to be eligible. By the same token, Stand By Me is a very pretty song for all the reasons we've said, but it's hard to disassociate its success with the fact that we all have known and kind of loved this song for our whole lives. That adds to its emotional value. And sure, you know, an Otis Redding song that people don't know as well could have an impact, but I think that people won't have, we've seen it, we saw in some of the more interesting songs that we had in this tournament that, you know, an emotional punch is not worth that much if people don't have a history of connecting to it. Democratic Adam and I were talking about this, and we felt some of the more compelling songs of this tournament fell flat because in one listen, people couldn't quite get into them. Waiting Room by Fugazi, for example, just got shell-shacked, even though it's, you know, pretty powerful song.
I think Love and Cup in the same way. I was talking about Love and Cup last night. People were like, where is that? That's like the best song. And I said, well, I lost it.
Oh, I was devastated by Love and Cup's performance. I think there is a song that, yeah, people just gave it two or three listens. They realized what an amazing song it is. But, you know, the song that's going to do well in the People's Choice Tournament is going to be one that is catchy enough that people are going to let it survive a round or two before they get to know it, but then at the same time have something more to offer. That's a little tricky to come up with, for sure. But I don't think it's going to be in the model of either Stand By Me or Under Pressure, because it's almost inherently going to not have a history in our lives like some of the more well-known songs of this tournament did.
Yeah, no, I agree. So getting into the People's Choice Tournament, so that's going to start on June 1st. And so here are the preliminary details about the People's Choice Tournament. As Giannis just said, no song that competed in the Living the Dream Music Tournament is eligible for the People's Choice Tournament. All those songs got their shot, they fell. Even if, you know, you're upset like I am about, you know, Johnny B. Goode falling in the first round, or Africa, or More Than a Feeling, you know, can't admit those. They had their shot, they lost. You know, and we sort of got to respect that. And there is also a host of music out there that I know any individual listening to this podcast is thinking in their head, why wasn't my song in this, or why wasn't this or that, you know, in this tournament? Well, now is the opportunity to put your song in and see how it does against the other songs. The formats for the tournament will be as follows. So I'm going to go through the spreadsheet of everyone that's ever voted and sort of separate out some tiers of gold voters, silver voters, and bronze voters. So gold voters, people that, you know, voted every single time, were consistently, you know, putting their opinions in, they'll get rewarded and actually have the opportunity to nominate 8 different songs for the People's Choice Tournament. And so, you know, I'm thinking people like Ico and Grant and, you know, Dano and Ad-Rock and Jacob, you know, people that just were always there, Catholic. You know, I could go on, I'm not going to name all of them off the top of my head, but you guys know who you are. And then people that maybe popped in and out for a little bit, you know, disappeared for a little bit of time, and then came back, they'll have the opportunity to nominate 4 songs. And then people that voted maybe 1 or 2 times will have the opportunity to nominate 2 songs. And then we're going to fill out the rest of them with just nominations from brand new voters that, you know, want a song in the tournament. We're aiming for a total of 256 songs, so we're going to split it up into divisions again. Anyone nominating multiple songs, none of your songs will be in the same bracket. And on top of that, when you do nominate your songs, we want you to put them in order as you feel what of your songs is a 1 seed, 2 seed, 3 seed, down to, you know, however many songs there are. And what we're going to do is, you know, use your seedings to inform where we split the songs up when we make the brackets. And so you own that a little bit, basically. Like, you, in your heart of hearts, you know when you're nominating these songs, what you think is like the 1 seed of your nominations versus the 8 seed. And we'll get it all set up. Please make sure that your song is available on Grooveshark or on YouTube, preferably on Grooveshark, as we sort of saw through the tournament with Beatles songs in particular. Beatles songs aren't on Grooveshark, and we can't really do much about that. We put the YouTube links up, but it just makes life a lot more easy when we can just sort of set up a playlist on Groove Shark of songs that are available. So, you know, look into Groove Shark anyways. It's sort of a cool thing. I'm not sure how it's legal. So, you know, you can listen to songs and put together playlists and stuff. So just make sure that it's available. And then what we're going to do is start posting the nominations in 2 weeks or so. So you can sort of like look on livingthedream.org and see what songs have been nominated. And, you know, it's first come, first serve. So if somebody nominates a song that you wanted to nominate, then, you know, you don't get to do that. If you don't want people to know what songs you're nominating, we'll respect that and not tell people who's nominating what song. I mean, you can sort of keep that to yourself if you don't want, you know, to sway people and have people know this or that. I think I personally am going to tell everyone what I'm nominating just because, that's how I roll, but I think other people, you know, we have some consistent email voters that, you know, sort of like to stay on the DL, and, you know, we respect that, and, you know, we're not going to blow up your spot and say, oh, this is blah, blah song, unless you, you know, state that yourself in the comments.
How about that, Guillermo? What are a song or two that you're thinking of throwing in there?
So I've been running I know Ad-Rock is doing this himself in Boston, but I've been running a series of sort of personal music tournaments. I take my dog on a long walk every morning before work, and I always bring my iPhone and sort of listen to songs of the moment. And I'm not 100% positive on the other songs. I mean, I have like a list of like 64 songs. I got to divvy it down to 8. But I will say that I am definitely 100% nominating All of These Things That I've Done by The Killers. I think that song, I know we had Mr. Brightside represented, but that song, when it comes to songs of the last decade, it has a lot of different sort of flavors to it. You know, it gets really fast and it gets really slow. It's got the I've Got Soul But I'm Not a Soldier, and people hear that and like, oh, this song. I think it has a good shot. It's done well in past tournaments that I've run. So All of These Things I've Done by The Killers is definitely going to be one of my nominations.
Excellent.
Do you have one?
Excellent. Well, yeah, I'm also going to be having a personal tournament to start who gets the nod, so I can't say with any assurance yet. I mean, there's a couple songs that I scratched from this music tournament because I felt they were kind of personal favorites that I thought were necessary to leave out to make room for the play-in songs, for example, that the other voters were more interested in. One example of that is Sprawl 2 by Arcade Fire. It's an awesome song, definitely their best song on the new album. You know, Arcade Fire had 4 songs already represented, so it seemed like a stretch to throw in 5, but I'm definitely ready for it now. And in fact, that when I was perusing the internet for examples of other music tournaments, it actually did extremely well in some other random person's music tournament, Songs of 2010. So I think it's worth it. It deserves a shot here. And I'm probably also definitely going to go with something off of Lou Reed's Transformer album. It's my favorite album these days, and it's got some pretty dope songs on it. That's the David Bowie-produced album. And there's a song called Hanging Round, which I'm pretty certain is going to get the nod.
Okay, yeah. And I've got other songs sort of on my short list that I'm thinking of. No promises, and actually if one of you guys nominates it before I decide what I'm going to nominate, then you can have it. But I'm thinking about Time After Time by Cyndi Lauper. I think that should have had a shot. That actually won the 80s prom song music tournament of September 2006 in Biloxi. We had a tournament, a public tournament where we all voted at dinner every night to try to divvy down 32 potential prom songs to one. And that ended up winning. But let's see, what else? I'm thinking about I Want to Know What Love Is by Foreigner. So that's done well in tournaments in the past for me. And, you know, Otis Redding, obviously, I talked about that earlier. And I don't know, it's hard. Like, each song is so little, like, you know, and there's so many songs that we love. Something else that I think about, actually, is the lack of Genesis in this past tournament. And, you know, I think you and I talked about that back in November when we were sort of finalizing the list. And I know that you're not, like, a big Phil Collins fan yourself. But, you know, there's a
Phil Collins fan,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But people are Phil Collins fans out there. And I think a song like Invisible Touch might do well. I don't think a song like In the Air Tonight, I think that even had a shot this last tournament. That's, like, sort of not representative of sort of what Genesis can do. But if you go back to, like, early Genesis, Peter Gabriel and Phil Collins were in the same band, they were producing music, and those are two like pretty important people in terms of 80s music, regardless of how you feel personally about them. You know, they were very, very successful in their own ways. So,
Fair enough.
But anyways, so yeah. So you, go on.
Yeah, I was just going to give a little update about what else is going to be going on at livingadream.org for the next couple weeks.
Yeah. Talk about Marathon Day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, Marathon Day is coming up, Marathon Day 4, actually, much in the tradition of Led Zeppelin 4 and Rocky 4. This promises to be the most exciting one to date. It's our annual 26-drink pub crawl across the five boroughs of New York City. It's going to start at Staten Island Ferry Terminal at 10:45 a.m. Saturday, May 14th. And, you know, I know the Masters Tournament says this, but this is really a tradition unlike any other. It's just a great opportunity to see New York City in all of its fine little pockets and neighborhoods, from Staten Island Bay Street to Williamsburg to the South Bronx to Hell's Kitchen. You really get to explore the city with an awesome crew of people. And you don't have to do the whole thing, although it's definitely possible. We had 9 finishers last year who started on drink 1 and ended on drink 26, but totally not required. So anybody who's either going to be visiting New York or who lives in New York should definitely consider hitting it up. That's going on May 14th. Next Saturday, actually, May 7th, we've got the Midnight Spin, which is one of our favorite groups. Mike and Benji are both semi-regular voters in the Living Dream Music Tournament. They're going to be playing Who's Next from start to finish at a cover night show in Brooklyn, which is going to be pretty awesome, and we're going to try to get a couple of them on the podcast sometime next week.
That's awesome. Yeah, shout-outs to we haven't even said this in the podcast yet. Shout-outs to Midnight Spin and then also to Kittens Ablaze, which is, I think, in a different iteration of itself than it was 2 or 3 years ago. But two independent bands that, you know, are friends of ours and rock. So, you know, definitely look them up and try to support them because we do have regular voters from both those crews.
Well, yeah, violinist Jenny Brest cast her first vote last night. It was 9-8 for Under Pressure. But the fact that she cast her first vote is significant because she actually had a really important role in putting the list together at the beginning. So much thanks to her for her participation in this tournament as well.
Yeah, and I look forward to the moment that Danny Skull, like, understands how to use the Internet so he can start voting. But, yeah, okay, so we got Who's Next? Next weekend, we got Marathon Day after that. So in those 2 weeks, everyone start thinking about what songs you want to nominate, and we're going to start probably changing the website around a little bit to archive the information from this past music tournament and get it set up to publicize events like Marathon Day and also to get it set up for the People's Choice Tournament. But I can't thank the listeners enough. Like, this has actually been like a really huge, awesome thing for me. And you know, Yana's invented music tournaments, but I have definitely, like other regular voters, as soon as I sort of started to understand them, has been a huge, huge supporter. Ran a whole bunch of music tournaments at my volunteer camp that I lived at in Mississippi after Katrina, and has continued every time I'm on a road trip. I make new music tournaments. I have this idea that when I go on family vacations when I have kids, that, you know, we're going to have, like, family music tournaments, and we're going to make, like, a flag of what the winner is and, like, tape it to the antenna and, like, have that fly down the highway, all that stuff. But I don't know. And then on top of that, just for me personally, I just finished grad school in December, and, like, running this music tournament has been a constant, like, boost for me as I, you know, came back to D.C. from Connecticut and, you know, was looking for a job. And there was definitely some, like, dark days of, like, oh, my God, I'm unemployed. I have a master's degree. I feel stupid. But running this music tournament, sort of reading the comments and, you know, sort of having music in my life every day in this fun way that the music tournament provides has been a really huge boost. And that was completely, completely a function of everyone that votes and being able to sort of be part of that. So thank you, everyone, for voting. Tell your friends about this. The People's Choice Tournament, I think, is going to take the momentum we've been able to build with 89 total voters for this final, and then just keep doing it. And, do you have any closing thoughts on that, Giannis?
We promised it would be epic, and it was. We went from 600 songs to 1, and everybody had the same amount of voting power as everyone else. There were a lot of moments of frustration where people couldn't believe the outcome came out a certain way. There were certainly a lot of people who were late to the party who wondered how under pressure and Stand By Me got to where they did. But, you know, in a democracy, you can't count on a lot of things, but you can count on people having equal voices. And it's been really fun voting with all of you, agreeing with all of you and disagreeing with all of you and having a spirited discussion in the comments section. And I feel like it's going to get even more exciting in the People's Choice Tournament, where we'll all be learning and exploring new songs and genres together.
I agree. All right, well, that's sort of it. Maybe we'll do a podcast soon coming up, but think about the songs you want to nominate. Thank you so much for participating. We love you guys, and see you soon for the next iteration, because that's the best thing about music tournaments. When one ends, what do you do but start another one?
Peace out, yo.
Peace out.